It's wonderful here. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. You still let me come in here. This is my home.
Gosh.
Miss Judy, it is good to see you here this morning, and that is, God is awesome.
And we
get to witness these things. The strength that He gives us to carry on to, and the joy is what I want to talk about today, the joy of our unity. And how much joy you brought to everybody here when you walked in that door. Well, that's what it's about, being in God's family, being in the kingdom. We'll talk about ice cream. Bear with me. Who in this room loves ice cream more than Jerry Radcliffe? Like, if you want to see joy, you see him with an ice cream cone. And if you ask me how I know, I grew up on hand-me-downs. I don't know if you did. But Jerry was cleaning out his closet. He had some pretty nice clothes, even for hand-me-downs. Brought them to the back room. The beautiful colors. I didn't look at them like maybe a woman would. And I knew what size they were. I was like, well, I'm going to take them home. They'll fit. When I got home under more inspection, I found that every one of them had chocolate ice cream drippings on every single shirt. Yeah, it was kind of a letdown. But the man loves ice cream. And the reason I want to bring that up is years ago, I was at a swimming pool, summertime. Kids are out of school. Here come they must have been like 5 or 6 years old, two boys with ice cream cones. They come down, sit on their seats, eating ice cream cone. They're at the pool. I mean, life is good. Somehow this turns, there's a little disruption over there, and it kind of turns into them kind of fussing at one another. And, you know, that's what kids do. But the father got up and walked over to him, and he told him this true statement. He said, you can't eat ice cream and argue. Like, you just can't think about it. You can't. It's ridiculous. Of course, they're kids. We do ridiculous things, too, sometimes. But just think about that. You can't eat ice cream and argue. And he said this, if you don't stop, I'm going to take your ice cream from you. Yeah, I'll bring that up. Because we are blessed people. They were at the pool, they had ice cream, they had it made, and they still couldn't get along. And how important unity is for us and for God. God has always, from the beginning, wanted a relationship with us. Always. That's what He created us for, relationship with Him. But not only that, but with each other. You know, both of them, what's the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. This life, a lot of people don't know what their purpose in life is. As Christians, we should know what our purpose is. Our purpose is to love God and to love others. That is our purpose. It's about relationships. That's what this life is all about. And I believe when you are at the very end of your life, which I experienced this past year, close to dying, that the only thing that matters is your relationships. One, relationship with God, the most important, but also the relationship with your loved ones and everyone that you know and have a relationship with. So I got a question for you. What brings you joy? We talked about earlier in the Bible study about the joy of looking forward to going to heaven. But what brings you joy in this life? What really brings you joy? And for me, what really brings me joy is to gather with God's people. I love Sundays, favorite day of the week. I love running into my brothers and sisters out in the world. Oh, isn't it great to see another pilgrim traveling? Maybe you don't know them. How about, and this doesn't happen every day, but it's something we can look towards. Having a spiritual conversation. I don't have this every day, but you take a day when you have a spiritual conversation with someone about what really matters, about Jesus. You will go home and tell somebody, or you call your friend, because it's brings you so much joy. What brings God joy? We do bring Him joy. You know that, right? We can bring is when we gather together in unity. Let me read this to you. This is Jesus' prayer in John 17, 20 through 21. My prayer is not for them alone, His disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one. That's unity. Father, just as You are in Me, and I am in You, may they also be in us. How closer can you get? Our unity here is not just here. Our unity with each other is not just with each other, but it's with God, our Father in heaven. We are in Him. He is in us. You can't get any closer relationship than that. And we are together in that. Having us together brings God joy. Right now, God is joyful that we are together in the spirit of love, excited to be with one another, full of joy, worshiping Him. That brings Him joy in Christ. But here's the thing. Here's what we do. Here's what man does. We divide. That's what we do. We divide. Man divides. Jesus is the one that unites. He is the uniter. And in this flesh, without Jesus, we divide. We struggle with it anyways. But we're dividers. Division started all the way back in the garden. If you look at Adam and Eve and their fall, the division started with God when they disobeyed Him. Started way back there. Cain killed Abel. And if you look at all the patriarchs, look at all the trouble that they had in their families. Sin divides. But reconciliation through Jesus Christ unites. And that's the truth. That's the truth. But we know that even before the world was created, even before we were created, in His image, He knew what we were going to do. He knew what we were going to need. God had a plan. We know that plan was Jesus. God's plans and the way He does things are not the way that we do things, and we're thankful for that. And how He went about that is pretty incredible. And one thing that has amazed me is, as was read in Ephesians chapter 2, 14 and 15, is the bringing together of the Jews and the Gentiles, which seems insurmountable, impossible. You're talking about 1,400 years or so where all of this tension and hostility had been built up. And Jesus was going to bring them together. So I'm just in awe of that. Always have been, because it was such a complex reconciliation between the two. But God had a plan. He chose Jacob. He said, Jacob, I'm going to make your family, your descendants are going to become a nation. Your descendants are going to become My nation. They are going to be My nation. I'm going to be their God. They're going to be My people. They are going to be a holy people. They're going to be a holy people because I am holy. And they are going to demonstrate for the world how to worship a holy God and how to be holy. And He gave them that responsibility. He set them apart, which was a division from the world. There was a division, but it was part of God's purpose and His plan. Everything God does needs to be done. It's necessity. You look at Jesus going before He went to the cross asking if there was another way. There was no other way than His Son to be crucified for our sins. So God's plan is exactly what we need. So they set apart. They were to lead us to Christ. They were to demonstrate God's holiness, but they were to lead us to Christ. Not only to lead us to Christ, but to lead us into Christ. It's first for the Jew. Salvation was first for the Jew. They're the leaders. You know, I look at this as they were our big brothers. It was never supposed to be they were better than us or they were against us. We were never supposed to be enemies. They were like the big brother. And if you look at the firstborn of a family, there's responsibility put on them. They are to lead the rest of the siblings. Maybe it's not fair. I was in the middle. That wasn't fair. But the big brother leads. And he's got that responsibility from birth. And that I look at Israel as that, to lead us. But first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, I'll tell you, when I became a new Christian, I did struggle with that. I was like, God is not a God of favoritism. What is this? Is that a contradiction? No. No, it's not a contradiction. But I had that feeling of a Gentile. Hey, why were Jews more important than a Gentile? I'm telling you, I got caught. I don't know if you ever have, but I got caught up in that. But then I learned better, and now I'm just, I want to make it to the banquet table. I don't care where I sit. He said, I'm going, and that's all I need. So I humble myself. But God held them accountable, didn't He? He held them accountable. They had a great responsibility. And then you had us Gentiles. I'll read from Ephesians 2:12. It says, remember at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel of the promise, without hope, and without God in the world. Now we know the Israelites, they had the Ark of the Covenant. They had the temple, the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was. We didn't have that. We were excluded. We were unclean because we weren't holy. Because only God can make you holy. And because they were God's holy people, He made them holy. So we were unclean. Matthew 15:25-27. This is a hard one for me as well. This is the woman coming to Jesus. The woman came and knelt before Him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I know what he was saying. It's just sometimes, and Paul as well, there's some things that are hard to kind of swallow, but if you recognize, the woman did not, she was not surprised by the statement. Didn't shake her a bit. Because that's how it was back in that time. And if you look at the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, she was surprised that Jesus had any interaction with her. It wasn't to be, and that's just how it was back then. What I'm trying to get at is there was a separation. There was a divide. But God loves everyone, Jew and Gentile. I mean, that's the truth. Like I said before, if you look at Ruth and Rahab, Gentile women in the lineage of Christ, Ruth and Rahab. I learned that this year. That was pretty interesting. Jesus had Gentiles in His lineage. Naaman, we know about the leprosy that Elijah healed him from. But how about Jonah? How about Jonah and the Ninevites? Jonah went to the Ninevites. God sent him to the Ninevites. Jonah did not want to go to the Ninevites. He went to them, and what did the Ninevites do? They repented. Is that not favor from God? Pretty amazing. You've got Cornelius and others in the New Testament, and there are others. But the Jews got kind of arrogant, and we saw that with the interaction between them and Jesus, how arrogant they got and how they treated people. And the Gentiles, we were jealous. We were jealous of them. So you had this rub right here. But Jesus is going to bring them together after hundreds of years. And he's going to do it by this. John chapter 12, verse 32. Beautiful. "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." When I'm hanging on that cross, I'm going to draw everybody to me. It's time. The Israelites have finished, and just at the right time, here comes Jesus to reconcile all of us back to the Father. And here it is. John chapter 1, verse 12. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Oh, what beautiful words. What beautiful. All of us, children of God. All those who believe in his name, become children of God. You want equality? You hear that a lot. You want diversity? It better be in the church. Inclusion? If you want to be included, you will be included. We're not going to find that in the world. It will never be. The only equality on this earth, in this lifetime, is in Christ Jesus. And coming to Christ, that was a monumental thing for me to learn. I listened to Martin Luther King's "I Have a Dream" speech. Awesome. It was a video of the whole mall. I mean, just everybody there was just a great thing. But that's what Jesus did. That's what he did. So this is the ice cream. It might be silly. That story might be a little silly talking about ice cream, but this is it. We've got the greatest, have received the greatest gift ever. But here's the other thing. It was at the greatest cost ever. We have the greatest gift. We can't be in Christ and be divided. We are all united. I read that earlier. That we are together in one. We are in God. You can't be in God and separated. You can't have disunity in God. So that's a serious thing, isn't it? Very serious. But and as you read in the book of Acts, unity was difficult from the beginning. From the very beginning it was difficult. And it's still a lot of work. Unity is relationships. Unity is relationship. And every relationship is work. Except mine. You're so perfect, honey. No. But it really is. And it's no different with unity. And, you know, it can't be a one-sided relationship. Like, we have a responsibility to take care of the gift that's been given to us. And to take care of each other. Thinking of others instead of thinking of ourselves. And here's the other thing. Division creeps in. Very creepy. You know, if you look at Peter. You remember the sheet came down from heaven and God said, "Kill and eat." He said, "No." And God said, "Don't call anything unclean that I've made pure." And we know that was. He was going to the Gentiles to share the gospel with the Gentiles. And he did. And after that, he stuck up for them. He went to the apostles. He told them what had happened. He told them the story. The Gentiles have received reconciliation and salvation also. And it's hard for them to accept it. So he did good. Peter did good. But then we find out in Galatians that he kind of drifted back with Barnabas, back with the Jews. Division creeps in. We have to look at ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. Are we the peacemakers? Are we the unifiers? Are we causing division? Because Satan is very sneaky. That's what he does. He divides and he conquers. That's what he does. Division in the world, like I said, it's always going to be there. There's always, because it's just man in the world. Man with no God. You want unity? Here's the ingredient. We have to be in Christ. We have to be in God. Without God, there is no unity. And there never will be. Not in a good sense. And then, here's the thing. Denominationalism. Christ died for everybody. I believe that there's true believers in every denomination. Now, hold on a second. I came out of a denomination. I did not know. There are people that are just ignorant. They just don't know. Do you know how blessed you are to be in a church that's seeking and preaching the truth? We want to know the truth. There are people that want to know the truth. But we find ourselves, and I've been listening and I've been made aware of this, that do we check our doctrine with people when we find out they're a Christian? Do we find out where they go to church, what kind of church, what denomination? Do we go straight to, or do we talk about our relationship with Jesus? You know the most powerful thing? If I say that I have a relationship with Jesus, we talked about this in Bible study this morning, I'm going to walk like Him. That's what 1 John says. If you're a follower, you're going to walk like Jesus did. I did a booklet, these three booklets, a study. Somebody gave them to me. First booklet was on the authority of Scripture. Well, that's good. Bring somebody in to show them the Bible. And the second one was Church of Christ doctrine. You know, it's all the Church of Christ doctrine and how, where it's found in the Bible. And then the third one was the necessity for their salvation. And I thought to myself, should the third one be the first one? Like, we need to... Doctrine is one thing. The first thing we need to do is bring people to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. That relationship with Jesus will take care of everything. It will take care of everything. And the reason I say that is, maybe sometimes we draw that line of division with people that we don't believe in too quick. And I just want to caution you that if Christ died for everybody and His Word is true, if you have to draw a line, how right do you need to be? Like, what if you draw a line that's not there? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever heard it? Like, do we know how much division there is amongst the brotherhood? And over what? I'm just saying, how sad. You know, we can bring joy when we're unified to God. How sad is it for Him when we divide over things that don't matter? Very, very, We just need to make sure we make the right judgment. That's what Jesus said. Make the right judgment. And the first thing first, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. If it is possible, if it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. We are the peacemakers. We are supposed to live in peace. We're not going to agree with everybody. That's okay. If you have a right to worship at a church that you choose because you disagree with someone, that's fine. That's fine. But be merciful and kind like God is with you. How merciful and kind has Jesus been to you? Are we that merciful with each other? Are we that merciful with the relationships that we have? I'm not as merciful. I want to be. I want to be able to love like Jesus without fear. Put my feelings aside, just love. Just like He did. Love to the end of my life. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Have we given up on people? And, you know, God has not given up on us. He doesn't. He is faithful. That's one thing we expect. That's what we know from our Bible study. God is faithful. He never gives up on us. Could He have? Oh, yeah. Look at the history of man and how much we hurt God. And then He sends His Son after we've done all that to Him. Can we love like that? That's what I want to love like. And we can grow in that direction. And here's what we need to hold on to as well. These scriptures. I don't know why this got cut off. But you know this. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We can't even imagine. According to His power that is at work within us. Here's the thing. The Israelites were held responsible. We're held responsible. God holds us responsible. He gives us the power to do things we can't do on our own. And we can't even imagine. He gives the power within us to do it. We need to pray. We need to pray. And we need to pray. And we need to believe. We need to believe this. Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." I am learning this more and more. Incredible things are going on in my life that I have been praying for that I thought would never happen when it comes to relationships. And God is so good. And when it looks impossible, pray. No matter what the relationship is in, pray. Jesus unites people. His love is all powerful. We have people that are in other denominations. We have people that are in the world. We need to remind ourselves to roll up our sleeves and get back to work. It is not easy work, is it? You get discouraged. We don't have the same belief. Do you believe in Jesus? Where is the common ground? Do you have Christ in common? Go there. Stay away from the doctrine. That will come. The relationship always comes first. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, is what Jesus said over and over again. Desires mercy. Go out into the world. There are people in the world that do not know the truth, that are hungry for it. Tina was hungry for it. I just shared the gospel with her. And look, she came to Christ. And you know this too. It's kind of strange telling you because you're so faithful to God. But also there's people in denominations, and let's not be Let's be gentle with them. Do you think we have everything right here in this church? That's one thing I thought about. Tina and I have conversations. We have these great preachers, and they will start talking about Calvinism and whatever else doctrine that I don't believe in. And it's like, how can someone that knows the Word of God so well, are we wrong? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not scared of it. I know Him. I know my Shepherd. And I am seeking the truth. But it just kind of shakes me up a little bit that some of these good preachers don't understand the Scriptures fully and are leading others astray. So, let's keep on working. There's a lot in our families. How hard are those relationships? Don't give up. Pray, pray, pray. God can do more than we can even imagine. And it's happened in all of our lives. And Judy, I mean this. This is an awesome thing today. And we give God all the glory. And I know you do too.
I do.
Yeah.
It's been a hard road.
It's been a hard road. But you didn't know. You didn't know if you could make it, but God has given you the strength, and you've grown closer to Him. And you're going to help somebody. You're going to help somebody. So that's what I wanted to share with you today, to encourage you to be a unifier. And definitely don't be a divider. I love you. And thank you so much for letting me come here and be with you. If we have any prayers, I just said pray, pray, pray. I also believe, and I will tell you, that coming forward and asking for prayers from the saints is a powerful thing that we don't take advantage of. There's an opportunity, and we don't take advantage of it enough. I have, and let me tell you, incredible things have happened. If you need prayers, what are you struggling with? Come forward. Let's pray together. It's part of being unified. And I believe everybody's a Christian here. But isn't it great to be in a church that says, if you want to become a Christian, if you are ready to become a child of God, you can do that right now? Powerful. Powerful. So here it is. The invitation. Thank you.